You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Welcome back. The second hour is live. Don't forget Commissioner Sankey joining us 2 hours from now. Kevin is in Austin. Good afternoon.
Howdy, Paul.
Hey.
How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I have to confess, I am an Aggie. I will be at the game on Saturday. And I'm getting real tired of Alabama coming into Texas and recruiting all the Texas high school quarterbacks named Jalen.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know where A&M has the advantage. I'd be interested in your perspective on that, on position groups. I feel like the game's going to be decided off – our defensive line against Alabama's Goliath offensive line. I feel like that's where the game's going to be decided over four quarters. But I do have to say, I'm glad that the intrepid Greg Sankey's coming down here from Mount Zion to read from the tablet in a couple hours. And I'd like you to ask him some questions, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, by all means.
There's a lot of interest. Go ahead.
No, we need some questions, so let us have them.
Yeah, I'm interested. I've heard a lot of different stories about how the league's going to be structured moving forward next year. I know the schedule's not out yet, but I've heard everything from East-West to four pods with three permanent rivals. I'm interested to learn more about that. I'm also interested in where the SEC championship's going to be played, if it's going to continue to be in Atlanta on a full-time basis or if it's going to move around. I'm interested in hearing about the NIL, and increasingly, I'm just wondering why for lack of a legislative body making rules to create some uniformity around NIL, why the SEC just doesn't take it upon themselves to create the rules, which would then surely be adopted probably by every other league for the sake of uniformity. I know he said in the past he wants to collaborate with the other commissioners, but let's face it, the SEC is the big dog. Certainly if the SEC and the Big Ten can agree on some uniformity and rules around NIL, I would think that's safe to say it would become the standard ahead of any waiting years for some legislative process to play out. And anyway, I'll just leave you with that. Interested in that interview here in a couple hours.
Thank you very much, Kevin. We will talk to the commissioner about all those subjects. Corky is in Fort Worth. Good afternoon, Corky.
Paul, my man, what's up?
Hey there.
Hey, you know, I'm always talking about Brian Kelly. I'm going to leave him alone being a Notre Dame fan. Now I'm going to talk about Tommy Rees. You know, I was talking kind of down on him all year, but I've seen something in these past few weeks with Alabama. Now, this is going to make the Alabama haters mad, and the Alabama fans should be glad. Tommy Rees wants a quarterback that's athletic. That's what Milroe's is. And every now and then take a deep shot. And he's everything that Ian Book wasn't, and we only lost two games with him. So it may get real scary for people who's playing Alabama. I hate to say that, but I think the Tide may be back if he can get that guy going. After A&M game, I can see them winning the rest of their game. Not saying the championship, but I don't see nobody else beating them once he gets that guy rolling.
Of course, yeah, I agree. I think this is the test because – of the circumstances, but really good to have you back on the show, Corky. Thank you, and let's check out John in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
Especially when Legend comes on. I'm from Georgia. Always a dog fan until the day I die, like most people from Georgia. And I just want to say, this year, I don't have my doubts. It's just, you know, it's not the same team from the past 2 years because, I mean, you have so many different new faces and then, you know, coordinators leaving for better opportunities. But I want to say I still have faith in them if they can just win out this season. But do you think they're going to be able to stop the run after watching them with Florida last week, just running straight in the middle with Mr. Davis there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly some legitimate concerns, but I'm not expecting Kirby Smart to wave a magic wand, but I just think that this team is getting better. Last week was just an outlier. I still don't understand that game. I'm really eager to talk to Kirby about that tomorrow. Hey, thank you very, very much. Let's check out Michael in North Carolina. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul. I'll continue that theme. Everybody's aware of the 200-plus yards by Ray Davis in the first half, but I think what's more impressive, and I want your comments about the Kentucky defense, because so far this season, I'm looking at stats that show they're only allowing 75 yards of rushing a game, and they're eighth in yards per carry at 2.54, and they're second in the nation in the least yards per carry on first down. So I think the Kentucky defense is really strong and underrated. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think they are. I also think Kentucky has played one average team. I think that's the one thing that's hard to gauge. I mean, all of a sudden, Georgia, Missouri, they'll see everybody here in the next few weeks, Tennessee. So I think trying to put a lot of stock on Ball State and Eastern Kentucky and Akron and Vanderbilt will get you nowhere. Now, they showed up against Florida. Who knows how much of that was coaching on the other side of the ball. But I really do think Saturday will help define this program.
Well, I've got one more hugely important question, and I wondered if this question had any bearing and perhaps could have kept Texas and Oklahoma out of the SEC. But has anyone really considered the fact that you may actually have to change your theme song?
Amazingly, Michael, the presidents of Texas and Oklahoma nor the commissioner ever consulted us on that question. Now,
well, you need to ask our commissioner about that when he comes on.
Okay, well, Michael, it's a concern of ours, though, and we're in that window right now. I've talked to Taylor Hicks. He's agreeable, but like all entertainment figures, there's a price tag attached. So we may just have to solicit, you know, see if there's a country singer out there somewhere, or rapper, or Taylor Swift even. Lil Wayne mentioned the show in a song. I mean, if somebody would like to give us a ring and or have their people call Danny and Jamari in the other room and not be treated rudely like that Matt guy the other day, we may, you know, we can deal. We're open for business here. I think we can get some pretty major. Taylor Hicks has made a living off of this song. Yeah, Megan Maroney last year with the Tennessee Orange song. We're not about to make a commitment yet until we know, you know, what the NIL says. So I know Jimmy Sexton's calling me right now with a deal. So let me take a break here. Let's talk to Andrew in Conway, Arkansas. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
All right. I want to talk to you about three things with the Arkansas Razorbacks and Sam Pittman. We've seemed to have a hard time the last few years under him. And I know he's been there 4 years, but we're not getting any production from the Razorbacks as we look forward to every year, and I'm a true Razorback fan, but we can't seem to get the right offensive coordinator, and we can't seem to get any recruits for the back end on the safeties and everything, and people are beating us over the top. And to be able to get down in the red zone for two or three times and don't score, that's a major problem for us. And I'm just wondering, you know, if you have any ideas that we might be able to do something. I don't want to get rid of Pittman, but, you know, Petrino was a pretty good offensive guy.
You know, Andrew, I think the program is really at a crossroads here, and that's why I think it's urgent for Arkansas to do something dramatic. And at Ole Miss and at Alabama aren't exactly great spots to have a win, but I think one of those is a must win. And you can't always talk about next year, and you know, everyone feels the same about Sam Pittman, but this program seems like it's gotten pretty stale. It's going the wrong way. We'll take a short break. Connor O'Gara will get his opinion on all that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
From Saturday down south, SEC fans, tune to Oklahoma, Texas, and you'll get it. Connor O'Gara joining us right now. Connor, it's been a while. I vaguely remember, and I could have this confused, but I don't think so. Connor O'Gara told us a couple of months ago, maybe before the season, that LSU would have 2 losses by the end of September. Am I right about that?
You are right. I'm actually surprised that you remembered that. I was fully getting ready to have to come up with some unique transition to toot my own horn, but I definitely took a lot of heat for that one in the preseason, saying that they were going to lose their bookend games in the month of September. And you know what? Like, I get a lot of things wrong in the preseason, most notably saying that South Carolina was going to be second place in the East. But that one I felt pretty good about. It's played out the way that I kind of thought it would. That secondary just has a lot of issues. And when they can't get to the quarterback, when they face these guys that actually can move the pocket, they've been really, really bad. And we saw that play out against Ole Miss.
So at this point, with a critical game coming up and Bama ahead and A&M and so many other big games, how would you evaluate, where would you put this LSU team in terms of reversing this trend, or do you think their season is veering toward disaster?
I don't know that they're gearing towards disaster. The good news, if you're an LSU fan, and fans don't really want to hear it from this perspective, but there are still a lot of guys on that roster that are trying to play for money, and they're trying to play for their NFL draft stock. And if you are concerned at all that they're going to mail it in because they now have 2 losses and a preseason top 5 team that was hoping to go to the college football playoff, maybe play for a national championship, that they're not going to have motivation, I would push back on that. I think they're going to make adjustments defensively. They just have to. They have too much talent to be this bad, to have what Brian Kelly called 34 missed tackles in any football game. I mean, that's bad for a month, much less for an individual game. I think better days are going to be ahead. They're still going to win a lot of games. It might feel a little bit 2021 Ole Miss-ish at times, maybe a little bit 2022 Tennessee, just a team that is going to be really fun to watch offensively, but week to week, you don't really know what you're going to get from that defense. Because let's not forget, I mean, they're not that far removed from looking really good on the road against Mississippi State, a Mississippi State offense that's struggling with that scheme change, that transition. But I think better days are ahead. I don't think it's going to turn into some 7-5 season for LSU.
That's good to know. Let's move on to the game in Texas. Well, there's 2 games in Texas, the OU-Texas game. But the one I'm really interested in your opinion on is Alabama taking on A&M. Give us your view of that.
Yeah, I think this is, it's so fascinating to look at the way that the last two matchups have played out, with A&M being really in a rough spot going into both of these games, being a three-score underdog and playing a 60-minute football game. They were a competent goal line call from winning in consecutive years last year. And it's a lot of the same pieces that are going to be focal points of this matchup this year, with that A&M defensive line that has just been playing out of its mind the last couple of weeks. 30 tackles for loss, like 14 sacks these last two games. They totally dismantled Arkansas. They totally dismantled Auburn. And you're looking at an Alabama offense led by Jalen Milroe that struggled against A&M last year. He had three turnovers in the first half of this game last year in Tuscaloosa. Yes, that was his first career start, different offensive coordinator. Maybe things will be different, but he's going on the road. This is going to be a really difficult matchup for Jalen Milroe. Even though last week I thought it was productive to see him not turn the football over, Tommy Rees really stuck to a ground heavy game plan, I still think this is another matchup that should go down to the wire. I don't necessarily think this is one that A&M should be going into thinking, oh, we're going to totally dominate up front, we're going to just blow out Alabama. I don't think they win by multiple touchdowns. I think this ends up being a game that goes down to the last second, and Alabama this time wins on a walk-off field goal.
Oh, okay. I knew you had a scenario, because you always do. Connor O'Gara joining us from Saturday down south. Connor, you like Alabama. What about the game in Georgia that we'll be sitting stateside tomorrow afternoon with? What's going on there?
I think if you look at this matchup on paper, based on what we saw last week, you're really worried if you're a Georgia fan, because when you allow more rushing yards in a game than you have in 5 years, and you see what Kentucky just did with Ray Davis against a pretty good Florida run defense, you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, this is not good. But a few things that I keep thinking about with this matchup. That Georgia defensive staff is too good to have consecutive games like that. Kirby Smart, Will Muschamp, Glenn Schumann, the vastly underrated Trey Scott coaching up that defensive line, they're going to make adjustments. I question whether or not Kentucky is going to have enough firepower offensively. They've kind of struggled in the passing game. As great as Ray Davis has been, he has been the heart and soul of that team. It was a joke that he wasn't preseason All-SEC. I absolutely hated that for him after the year that he had at Vandy. I still think it's going to be a really tough matchup for Kentucky. Kentucky hasn't led in any game against Georgia since 2017. They haven't led by a touchdown against Georgia since year one of the Kirby Smart era, 2016. But here's the stat that just blew me away. My guy Perry brought this up to me earlier in the week. He said, do you realize that Georgia has not lost at home at night since 2009? Ironically enough, also against Kentucky. I think Georgia wins this game, even if they get off to a slow start. I think they cover that, 14.5 point spread. I think this ends up being a game in which reminded Georgia's run defense is going to be just okay, even though they don't look like they have those game records up front.
Well, Connor just spitting out knowledge left and right. I didn't ask you about the Missouri game, even though I asked you about LSU. Who wins that game?
I think LSU wins. And here's why. This is one of those matchups where I could talk myself into it on paper. I think the Mizzou offense has been a revelation. I thought Eli Drinkwitz's hire of Kirby Moore was a smart one. That has played out really well. Luther Burden III has turned into everything Mizzou fans could have hoped for and more. He leads the country in receiving. He's first in Power 5 in receptions. Their other receivers, Mookie Cooper, Theo Weiss, those guys have really stepped up for that team. And they're led by a defensive coordinator in Blake Baker that I bet a lot of LSU fans wish that they still had on their staff, with the way that things have played out for them this year. I look at all those things and how much LSU struggled just tackling ball carriers last week, and there is a world in which Mizzou wins this football game. But then, Paul, I close my eyes and I think about, wait a minute, am I really saying that LSU is about to drop to 3-3 in Mizzou, who has not won a matchup of ranked teams at home since it beat Johnny Manziel in 2013, the regular season finale, Henry Josie 57-yard run? Am I really saying that that's the scenario, that's the world that we're about to live in? I just can't get on board with that. And so I do have LSU winning this football game, despite the fact that Mizzou feels, I think rightfully so, like it has a lot of ways to expose LSU.
Another game, Arkansas in Oxford to take on Ole Miss. So Lane Kiffin celebrating, I hope he's not still celebrating, the biggest win that he's enjoyed since being at Ole Miss. Is there any hope for this Arkansas team?
I don't have a lot. Maybe they're going to make those adjustments on the offensive line. They're still trying to figure out the right rotation of guys. It's so alarming, and it's just stunning to see a Sam Pittman coached offensive line struggle the way that it has so far. And you feel bad because coming into the season, KJ Jefferson, Rocket Sanders, that's one of the best 1-2 punches, not just in the SEC, but in all of college football. And the timing of this scheme change has probably not done them any favors. They have not pass protected particularly well at all. And so you're looking at how much that could limit them. And it's not that they've been bad defensively. I think Travis Williams has been a really good hire. They still get exposed a little bit on the back end sometimes, but they're vastly improved defending the run. But I look at this matchup against an Ole Miss team that last week reminded us they do have that offensive firepower, despite what they showed a week earlier in Tuscaloosa. And if Quinshon Judkins can get going like that, to me, that is just a really, really troubling development for an Arkansas group that looks like it could struggle a lot. And if they're playing from a deficit, that is advantage Ole Miss. Ole Miss can get in the backfield. Say what you want about Pete Golding. Say what you want about his defense. I think they have like 20 guys that have a tackle for loss this year. They will absolutely get into the backfield despite what we saw last week. So yeah, I really don't have a whole lot of hope for Arkansas. I think even Arkansas fans at this point don't have a whole lot of hope going into this matchup.
Connor, before you go, there's one other game. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a down-to-the-wire walk-off field goal to win, but what is your assessment as we reach the midpoint here in a couple of days of Billy Napier's second year at UF?
I don't think they're paying $31 million for Billy Napier not to work. I'll continue to bang the drum until that actually happens, and for whatever reason, Florida decides, you know what, patience is one thing, but this is not going the direction that we thought it was going to. What I do think is alarming is hearing his comments on Monday, where he's talking about, you know, you weren't asking these questions a couple of weeks ago after we beat Tennessee. And to me, when you're the one that is doing things differently than everybody else in the SEC, you have a right to be questioned about those things. Billy Napier is the only one who is a head coach in this conference who is still the primary offensive play caller. And I realize Hugh Freeze is kind of dabbling a little bit. He's kind of sharing some of those duties with Philip Montgomery. But still, I think that you're looking at this Florida offense, go, wait a minute, you just had consecutive weeks where you couldn't hit 30 points against Charlotte, and then you couldn't do it against the Kentucky defense. That's really good. But still, it's Florida, and there is a certain standard. And now Florida has the worst ranked offense in the SEC. And so when you're the primary play caller and you're being paid $7 million, yeah, people are going to question you. That's the way that this works. There's been a material change since Tennessee. He was questioned about the play calling in the offseason as well. We're seeing Anthony Richardson do good things in the NFL, which probably doesn't help Billy Napier in that way either as an offensive mind. I think the direction this is heading in is Billy Napier is going to hire an offensive coordinator after this year. He's going to look at Jimbo Fisher. He's going to look at Eli Drinkwitz and say, you know what? I need to hire an offensive coordinator. I can't do all these things at once. That's probably the better way to look at this. I think they bounce back against Vandy. I think better days are ahead for that offense, but it's been very hot and cold. It was pretty alarming to see the same team that we saw against Utah show up in that game against Kentucky. Florida has been very Jekyll and Hyde. The home and road splits just are not really promising, and I think that's probably the way that we should look at Billy Napier moving forward.
Connor O'Gara, great stuff, as always, from Saturday down south. We head to the break. Don't forget, tomorrow we will talk to Griff. I know everybody expects him on Thursday night. We do too, but since we'll be in Athens, we made time for Griff tomorrow on set. Can you beat that, Griff in front of a live audience? We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we are back, and let's get back to the calls here. And Richard is up next in Florida. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Paul, just want to clarify the record on that Florida-Kentucky record. Since 1917, not 1970, 1917, the Gators have won 53 games. Kentucky has won 24. 31 of those were straight. Now, granted, Kentucky's got a good team. They've beaten us three times in a row. And your analysis, the guy you had just on there, is 100% correct. If Napier doesn't get an offensive coordinator, he's not a Steve Spurrier. If he doesn't get an offensive coordinator, he's not going to be there next year. But I promise you one thing, when the Kitty Cats come into Gainesville next year, there'll be definitely a different outcome, and their three-game winning streak will come to an end. Thank you, Paul, and go Gators.
Taco is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I hope you're doing well.
We are. Thank you.
And I have a question for you. You know, Alabama fan, I think we'll handle business this weekend. But listen to all these LSU fans losing it and wanting to fire Brian Kelly. What is going to be your ritual Monday if you come in and Alabama loses, Georgia loses, and LSU loses? How are you going to get through a four-hour show, Paul?
With great difficulty, but as we have said, that occasional time that Alabama loses, which is about 1.5 times a year, the Monday is always Matty. But we've never had anything quite like that.
That's what I'm thinking. And everybody talks about Nick Saban retirement. I think he's still got a few years myself. And I do agree with you about the Oregon coach being a good fit at Alabama if he did anytime soon. I think he has a really, you know, good standing in college football. But I really wanted to know, Paul, talking about retirement, who is going to play you in your biography movie? Who do you want to play you?
Well,
you
I think yeah, this came up a couple of years ago, Taco.
Do you retire, or do you want it to be after you retire that they make a biography of you?
Well, I don't have any interest in that, so it wouldn't matter to me. I did go down this road about 3 years ago when ABC bought the rights to a pilot on this sitcom on the show. And they did pick an actor out, but it wasn't about me today. It was like 25, 30 years ago, so it was a completely different mindset. But I don't know. I mean, one day when things are really down and dreary and nobody's being upset, we'll have the audience figure that out. And that should be about 5 calls, and then we'll have the show canceled. Johnny is up next in Georgia. Hello, Johnny.
Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, I was listening to you last week, and there was a podcaster that came on, and I always admire your willingness to give young journalists a platform. He wasn't bright enough to name his podcast, where he might have picked
I don't
up
remember
another,
that.
Yeah, another 2 or 4 listeners. But I really want your take on a bigger issue, and that is the lack of local independent media. You know, you can look at things like, you know, you can look at things that people want to investigate, whether it's, you know, what undergrad Lane Kiffin might be dating or why A&M has male cheerleaders. But we can leave that to the basement bloggers like Legend and Griff. But there are big issues we don't get meaningful stories on because the local media is not strong anymore. I'd love to hear from your point of view as a former newspaper man. What are we missing? I mean, we look at issues like the Brian Harsin rumors or the Mel Tucker story or the tragedy at UGA, and we basically have two sides to it, you know, and maybe a local newspaper that really doesn't have any access, because if they say anything bad or even ask the wrong question, they lose access to the whole program.
Yeah, Johnny, it's a really big concern of mine, and I don't wear it on my sleeve here anymore because I'm not really sure very many care. But I have spoken to several communication and journalism deans about that issue, even recently. And I think the real problem is what you said. I'll say this gingerly because a lot of these people are friends of mine, but the media today that covers this sport usually have a business interest in the agenda that they cover. So what you're not going to get is what you used to get. I read something, it was recently, it was a retired editor of the Washington Post was asked, you know, what was your mantra on sending reporters out? And he said, I sent a reporter out to report, and when they get through with that, do more reporting. What does that mean? That means that there's never an end. There's never a question that you never come back and say, I've exhausted everything that I set out to do. And today, there's no such thing. There is literally no reporting being done. The universities put out whatever they want, and the media laps it up.
Paul, you even look at the coaches' scrum on Mondays. You know, any reporter that asks to try and question might get their credentials pulled.
No,
Johnny,
I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds here, but I've had issues with coaches recently and certainly in the past for challenging. I'm not saying, hey, coach, you know, were you at a strip club Monday night? Although that would have been a good question about 20 years ago at Alabama.
Right.
You can't. The coaches today do not want to be asked anything. That's their prerogative. They make $10-12 million a year, and they not only will shut it down. They will ostracize that reporter. And so I know people that have covered beats that got information from assistant coaches, and there are some places where the assistant coaches have to turn their phones in during the day or be monitored so they won't be leaking information to reporters anymore. So it's just not worth it. Therefore, you don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, the average fan today doesn't really care. And I'm kind of past caring because I don't think anything is ever going to be done about it.
Paul, thanks for taking my call and
Thank
enjoy
you.
Athens.
Appreciate it. I can't wait to get there. And it's, you know, some of you were saying, well, so what? Well, most of the time we're not talking about anything really important, but there have been some nefarious characters over the history of college athletics that some good reporting may have weeded them out and saved universities from tremendous embarrassment. We'll take a break. More to come. More after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it starts early on Saturday morning. Marty and McGee, 9. SEC Nation, 10 a.m., live from Athens. Jenny is up next in Texas. Howdy, Jenny.
Howdy. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm just calling because of, one, you know, having that hope of us winning this game on a Saturday. The Aggies. I'm a longtime Aggie fan, and I just want to look at one rankings, which obviously don't mean anything right now. But if we do beat Alabama, will we be higher up in the rankings? Because that was Texas.
Yeah, Jenny, I don't think. I think the Aggies would zoom up in the rankings. I don't know, somewhere in the teens. But I think that would definitely happen. I mean, that would. That's a big win. I mean, beating Alabama counts. It matters.
Because that's what, I mean, I'm a longtime football fan, and, you know, being from the Southwest Conference to the Big 12 and then to the SEC, obviously my desire is to always be better than TU. And so I was just wondering, since they beat Alabama and that's their big showcase win, and they got ranked up so high, I was just wondering if, you know, A&M would be.
Yeah, wouldn't be as high as Texas because A&M has that one little stinging loss. But Jenny, you can count on that. Alabama, the Alabama win would matter a great deal. Well, thank you for calling. Mary Lynn is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mary.
Mary Lynn is my name, and I'm from Columbus, Georgia. I'm a first-time caller, but I just had a little interesting story I thought I'd tell you. I'm a big Georgia fan, and I played tennis at the University of Georgia, and when I was there, Greg McGarrity was my tennis coach.
No kidding.
No, yeah. As a matter of fact, he called me a while back. We're trying to get some kind of reunion going, and hopefully we can get our team back together. But another interesting story is I got to play tennis with Irk Russell.
Oh, my. I remember Irk very well.
He was so funny. I had such a great time. But I just retired a few years ago. I was a tennis coach at Brookstone School, and we went up to Athens one year to play Athens Academy, and one of my girls who went to Georgia was, I guess they were dating. I don't know if they were friends with Kirby, and he came and watched our tennis match.
Oh, really? How cool.
Yeah, I was so excited, and I was at, when I was working at Brookstone, I was in my office one day, and I heard a knock on my door, and darn if it wasn't Kirby Smart. I said, but this is when he was coaching for Alabama.
Right.
And he was trying to get Brian Vogler, I believe, who went to my school. And we had a nice little chat. And I told him, I said, now, when are you coming to coach at Georgia? And he said, well, can't talk about that right now, but you know how I love UGA. So anyway, it was just a fun.
Well, that was, Marilyn, that's a great story. By the way, I saw Greg and Cheryl last year in Jacksonville. In fact, I communicated with Cheryl a couple of weeks ago on her birthday.
Well, I tell you, I just love Greg. He has been one of my favorite people. And when I heard he was going to be the athletic director at Georgia, I was even more thrilled. I just think he's a wonderful man. And
well, he did a great job there. And he's the one that brought Kirby Smart back. So let's not forget that.
Oh, yes. Well, anyway, I just wanted to call and give you this story. And by the way, I love Larry, and I love Legend. Legend talks bad about Georgia, I just smile and laugh. I just love it.
That is funny. Well, Mary Lynn, thank you. It's really great to hear from you. Mary Lynn calling us from Georgia. And Brad is also in Georgia. Good afternoon.
Hey there, Mr. Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You're looking quite dapper in your gray suit today.
Well, thank
very
you.
Nice, very
thank
classy.
Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Got a little pushback on Legend yesterday. Kind of ticked me off, and he is one of my favorite callers on. Georgia fans are so whiny. So, hey, Legend, here's the deal. And this, Paul, I'll let you answer the question. After week two and up the lead and leading into week four, what fan base called your show whining, selling out a coach?
Alabama.
That's right. So, Legend, if your brain was half as big as that big old nose sitting on your little head, you'd have some credibility there. But in this case, you don't. You're just mad because three SEC teams has beaten you in 2 years. And right now, y'all's program's irrelevant. hadn't seen you in a national championship in a few years. Having said that, Paul, Texas A&M and Alabama, I'll take Texas A&M by 3. Oklahoma and Texas. Texas is going to pull it out, but barely, but it's going to be a close game. And Georgia will not cover the spread again because Mike Bobo has a mask. And it looks like Mike Bobo, and he puts it on in the first half, and he sleeps. And then finally he takes it off and then figures out he better do something, and then we pull a game out. What do you think, Paul?
Those are really some great predictions. Brad, thank you. Thank you very, very much for calling. Gary is in Texas. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Paul. How are you today, bud?
We are doing really well. Thank you.
I was going to – I really feel like LSU will bounce back and beat Missouri this week, but I think that Coach Kelly is panicking a little bit, thinking that Pete Jenkins is going to solve our problems. I think our defense has been a situation ever since the Florida State game. You agree?
I do. There have been some just bizarre decisions made on that side of the ball.
You know, the last thing I'd like to see is a coordinator lose his job during the season, but – I think that we're going to have to think strong about making a change in that defensive coordinator position.
You're correct, Gary. I mean, this has been really shocking when you consider the talent that defense has. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. We will take a break. 2 hours to go, including the commissioner of the SEC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.